Hey, Michaela.
Yes, Warwick.
Are you a fan of barbecued food?
I am, actually.
And when was the last time you had a barbecue?
Well, I did attempt it last night and bought some beautiful T-bone steak and went home and look at me, I bought some nice meat. Said, hubby, can you put this on the barbie? And he said, well, no, I can't because your dog has chewed the gas cord, so we can't connect the gas bottle to the
This is
barbecue.
The dog that has chewed almost every piece of furniture in your house.
Yeah, and we actually counted. It's done 5 couches because people keep giving us couches because it just ruins them. And numerous gas cords, his 30-metre extension cord.
No, not the tradies extension lead.
The very beautifully wrapped up extension yes. lead that he left on the back deck and it's now in 10 pieces.
And what's the name of this dog?
Lucky. We've renamed it.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show, helping you get off the tools and into true business ownership so you can spend more time doing the things that matter most. Now, here are your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark.
And welcome back, listeners, to another episode of the Tradies Business Show. If you've got a dog with behavioural issues, give us a call because we obviously can't help.
I think I need to, get that Dr. Harry to the rescue to come and save this dog because I've seriously thought, if I don't do something, my marriage is going to be in serious trouble.
Yeah, and it's like it's the dog or the husband. Which one?
It is, yeah. And it seems to chew his stuff more than mine, so that doesn't help the cause. So.
Oh, man. Just don't let it chew his stubby cooler.
No.
Not the favourite stubby cooler.
It did chew his new $150 hat, Kubra hat the other day, so, yeah, I had to hide the dog for a while.
It's in protective custody.
It is. And whenever I leave the house for a few hours, I always have to say, can you put Ella on the phone because I can just check that she's still alive.
Oh, dear. So we've got a really I have to say it's a surprising interview today. When we were approached to speak with this particular guest, I thought, this will be a good real tradie story. So we've got a real tradie story for you today, listeners. And I thought, yeah, this would be pretty good, I think when you've been doing this podcasting gig for a while, you kind of figure you know how things are going to run. Or maybe that's just me, Michaela.
Because we're so pro.
You can tell by the professionalism with our questions at the start. But I have to say, I was really pleasantly surprised with the interview we did today with Jim Kelly from Hire a Hubby.
And I liked how you gave the feedback to him. Oh, you weren't a wanker, mate. So that's got to be a good interview, isn't it?
Well, he was happy with that. But that's the thing. I mean, the guy is actually very, very successful. And we'll put a photo up in the show notes. But he's just a regular dude, loves to surf and he's surf trips. He's, Northern Beaches, I think, in Sydney. And the guy's actually built a great business. He's got 5 guys on the road, about to put another one on. I mean, and this is just fixing squeaky hinges and stuck windows and, little tiling patch-up jobs and all that sort of stuff. So, really. And he had some great insights too about business.
That's right. And it's a lot of things about being professional and knowing your numbers and just really trying to run a business where you're not in it as well as being the end goal, which is something our show is, our mission is to get everyone off the tools and into a true business ownership where they can go and surf around the world or go to a knitting conference, whatever they want to do.
A knitting conference.
Oh, just, we've got a lot of different listeners.
Do you do much knitting, Michael?
No.
The dog would chew it anyway.
It would, yes.
All right, well, enjoy this interview, listeners, and we'll see you at the back end. And welcoming to the Tradies Business Show today, we've got Jim Kelly from Hire a Hubby. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Yeah, g'day, Warwick. How are you, mate?
Good, good. We're also joined by my co-host, Michaela.
So, I'm here.
Michaela's here as well. So, Jim, tell our listeners a bit about your journey to being where you are today, mate. I mean, you're the Hire a Hubby franchisee of the year. So well done on that, first of all. But
thanks, mate,
tell us a bit of the backstory. How did you get to be fixing people's holes in their plasterboard and their squeaky hinges?
It all started 5 years ago. Before that, I used to run a service station, me and my wife, in Manly for about 15, 16 years. So that's got bugger all to do with being a handyman. But when I got out of there, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, and I went to one of the info nights for to become a Horror Hubby franchise, and sat down there, and there's a questionnaire where you got to tick all the your skill levels, and mine wasn't really up to scratch, so they said, really, I've got to learn a bit more about my the skills to become a handyman. So
Jim, they knocked you back, mate.
They knocked me back, yeah.
So, I bet they're regretting that decision today, hey?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So, but anyway, I'm a bit of a keen surfer. I was out in the surf, and a guy that I knew through working with the servo, he said he was looking for an offsider to be for his handyman business, ironically, and I ended up working with him and picked up a lot of skills along the way. And then I actually teamed up with Horror Hubby franchisee in Manly, and he was looking for someone to do a bit of work as well. And I worked with him, and I seen how well he was doing, so I reapplied and bought a franchise. A guy was selling out the local paper, and I bought that. And so I've actually come in the side door and then started from there.
So it's good lesson in, you know, when you first get rejected, keep trying and go again. Don't just give up, eh?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Yeah. But it was quite nice to know. You know, they don't just accept anyone into the franchise. You know, you got to have a bit of your skill level, because anyone could, you know, tick the box and say they have, you know, done tiling or hung a door before. But meanwhile, when you go to someone's house, you virtually need to know what you're doing, you know.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to know, do you get many runners when you own a petrol station? Like, how many people actually take off?
There's plenty.
How much
you're making such low margins on the fuel, and then you see these mongrels, they put dodgy license plates on, and they wave at you as they're driving away, you know, and they've filled up their car. So, it makes you a bit frustrated, you know, especially when you work off low margins on the fuel, you know.
Yeah, I know once I filled up the car and drove off, completely just forgot to pay, not intentionally. Yeah. And I've gone up and I've gone, oh, bugger, I didn't pay. But I went back, you know, and paid, and the guy was just looking at me like, you idiot, like, who forgets to pay? Yeah. But I generally, you know, really, I felt terrible, but I was 8 months pregnant at the time, so I'll blame it on pregnant brain.
Yeah. But, there is people that do forget, but there is obviously people that they try their arm. And I wanted to invent a system where, as they're driving out, you press a button, the spikes come up, and got ya.
Nice, mate.
So the great thing about working at the petrol station, it is a business, and you learn a lot about how running a business. So that has definitely helped me with the Horror Hubby side, and I think that's one of the and Manuel from Horror Hubby head office did say, because we've run a business before, that's going to keep us in good stead for the future. So once I added the skill levels and the business side, it sort of all matched and worked out really well.
So Jim, question for me, mate, is why did you want to be a handyman? I mean, you had a servo, obviously a very successful one if you had people stealing fuel from you all the time. Why the choice of Horror Hubby particularly, but getting into handyman, mate?
The thing is, what I like about the handyman business, there's a lot of variety, and a lot of people that, I don't know, out there who are not sure what they're going to do, they end up always lean towards getting a Jim's mowing, you know, because they think, oh, I can mow grass and they can make a bit of money. But then my wife says, if you become mowing grass, I'll divorce you. So it's a bit of a...
Do you mow your own grass, mate?
No, I haven't got any lawn, so yeah. But in saying that, you know, I thought being a handyman, it's all about the variety. You do a hell of a lot of different jobs, and it's a good business to be in.
So there's got to be a job that you just really hate doing. What would that be?
I do a lot of rental maintenance and for some real estate, and the really one I really don't like is changing a grotty old toilet seat that's broken. And you got to get your gloves on, your suit on, your mask, the whole bit to get that toilet seat off.
Nice, mate. So you just charge a little bit extra for those jobs, right?
Yeah. Grievously money for that one, that's for sure.
So, mate, I'm still stuck on the servo, but lessons from that. I mean, you talked about the fact that you had run a business, and it's a very different business in some respects, running a servo to being a handyman franchisee. There would be some things that are similar. I mean, what are some of the common elements across businesses that, you know, you've had that experience in the service station that have really helped you get to where you've taken out Franchisee of the Year?
Yeah, I think it's got a lot to do with run a survey. It's a lot to do with customer service. You know, you're meeting people up to 100 customers coming through the door an hour. You know, so you want, and I end up being part of Manly, you know, because everyone knew me as Jim from the servo. And the customer service, they wouldn't even look at the price board. They would pull in because they know that when they come in, they'd have a chat and a bit of a laugh, and because no one likes paying for fuel. So I think customer service is a major part that I took out of running a servo, and I've used it in my handyman side of the game. And also the back end, you know, the profit and loss and learning that it's a business as well, and if you run it like a business and not you know, like I just take a wage and then whatever is left over, that's a profit, and we leave that in the business and we grow the business instead of taking money here and there when you have a good job or a big job, you know. So
awesome, mate. And that's Jim, I have to say, mate, sorry, I jumped in there. Music to my ears is a tradie looking at their numbers.
Yeah, for sure. And my wife's a big part of that. She's behind the scenes looking at the P&Ls each month and seeing how we're going and where we've gone wrong and how we can fix things up to improve.
Yeah, because it's something we go on about all the time on the show, is knowing your numbers. And you know, once you've got it set up right, it's not hard every month just to review and see where you're going, and it can make all the difference over the long term.
Oh yeah, because I know a lot of guys out there, they just take money out of the business willy nilly, and then all of a sudden they think, oh geez, where's all the money gone? And they do cashies and all that sort of stuff. So whereas if you run it everything through the books and you pay yourself, you know, not a huge wage but a good wage, and then you aim to after paying all your fees and bills and your wages, you want to have a profit in there so that you keep growing the money in the kitty, you know.
Yeah, it's such a good point, mate. And look, I do say a little tongue-in-cheek, but it is great to hear someone like yourself, Jim, talking about paying yourself a wage and looking at your profit and loss. And not that you necessarily have to leave money in the business, but for our listeners out there, it is important that you keep your business and your personal finances and budgets and everything separate. So that way you can really see what your business is doing, yeah?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And, you know, because if you run the ship a bit thin, and then you get a few bills come through, and insurance comes in or whatever, and you haven't got enough money in the business, then that's where you run into a bit of strife.
Yep. So, Jim, you're obviously part of the Hire a Hubby franchise. I mean, what's that like, and you know, what are some of the great things about being a franchisee with Hire a Hubby?
I feel the good thing about being a franchisee is it's obviously a really good brand, and people trust the brand, and that's what we pay, you know, our franchise fees for. So the brand is a really powerful tool for us, and the other good thing is I could do it myself. I could have a ad in the paper and going off and do it, but you're by yourself, you know, whereas this is like I can ring up other franchisees and say, I've got this job, what's going on? And everyone helps each other. No one's going to say, oh, bugger off, I'm too busy for you. Everyone helps each other. And you have also quarterly meetings. You have for state, and then you have the conference once a year, which is great, where you get all the hubbies from all around Australia get together and, you know, have a few beers and a chin wag, and you learn a few great tips that you can take back to your business, and that's how you grow. Whereas if you're by yourself, I feel after a while you get a bit stagnant.
Yeah, sure. And so what do you think made you number one? What makes you sets you apart from the other franchisees?
It's been a bit of a long road along the 5 years to get to number one, but I feel very privileged to actually win that award. But I really think it's having my wife involved in the business. A lot of guys out there have just got, they're just by themselves, and they do it tough, you know, whereas we created a new business through my wife helping me. It's called Office Shed, and what Office Shed does, it helps me all my invoicing and quotes and all that. I just voice memo it through to them, and they knock it all up and send it off. So we get quotes in quicker, we get invoices in quicker, we get paid quicker. They chase up bad debtors. I feel with that, and with our great customer service and the team that I've got, I feel that's why we won.
And how many team do you actually have there with you, Jim?
Oh, I've got four guys working for me now. Obviously, when I first started, I was by myself. And I'm up to four guys, and I've changed from subbies to employees, which was a big step. I just feel that once you get them on employee, they get paid for holidays and sick leave, and you know we look after our guys and pay them well, so you end up maintaining really good staff, and everyone wants to work for you.
But that sounds terrible, mate. So you got to pay them when they're not working.
I've got to pay them on Monday. Can you believe that?
But, you've done that for a reason, and no doubt you've seen some results in your business off the back of going to that employee model.
Yeah.
I know there's some listeners that are perhaps struggling or considering that same thing. I mean, how did you make that decision, mate, and how has it really paid off for the business, Jim?
I really think with the going from subby to employee, we had a bit of a scare that they come in and they said, tick the boxes in regards to your subbies and you'll see if they're subbies or employees. And when I asked all the questions, you know, they wear my shirt, I tell them where to go, they put the materials on my account, and, you know, so at the end of the day, they were employees, so I could have got a knock on the door one day, and they could have been on big back pay, you know. So I decided, I feel comfortable now if they do come knocking that we've done all the right things by our workers.
And what about? Are there any other benefits to having the guys on the books, mate?
Oh, definitely. Like one of my guys who has been run his own business. He's been a subby, and he's been with me for like nearly 3 years now. And he even said to me, he says, you know, like he says, it's such a nice feeling. You know, I'm getting first time ever, I'm getting paid for public holidays. You know? And when I go away at Christmas time, I'm getting paid for it. You know, and he feels wrapped. You know, that because he's got a small family, and to be a subby when you got time off, or if you get rained off or whatever. When they're not working, they're not getting paid, and the bills keep rolling in. So they eventually, you know, the employee they are wrapped, and I feel you get a lot more out of the guys because they respect you a lot more.
Yeah, cool, mate. It's certainly it's a different kettle of fish having people working for you as employees to subbies. And one of the things that I talk to people about, talk to tradies about, is the fact that you then, you know, they really are part of your team, and you know, they've actually got more buy into the business, I see, than when they are just a subby. I mean, do you see the same thing with your business, mate?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think with this, when you got subbies, it's all about the what you pay them. So you're continually starting with a subby, and then some other guy offers them $5 an hour more, and they're gone. You know, you've done all that training, and so whereas an employee, you know, they could get someone saying, oh, I can pay you an extra $20 an hour, whatever. But when you add up all the bells and whistles that comes with employee, they end up saying, no, I'm happy where I am. And that's how you can maintain and keep good workers.
So I know before you mentioned that you do some work for real estate. So I know that's a big area, joint venture partnerships and referral partners. What are some tips you can give our tradies that are listening to getting with real estates and those types of people to give you that steady stream of work?
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, the real estate and the strata, I'd also do strata work. They're sort of like the bread and butter. That just ticks you along. And then you've got your customer base that grows. But I feel with the real estate, they can be hard work. You know, they're very demanding. But if you treat them well, they look after you. And it's, that just fills in all the gaps. And because having four guys, I need to have a nice pool of work coming in.
And so what do you find makes, you know, how do you develop those relationships? What do you think are some ways they can, knock on the doors and things?
Yeah, to get in, it's not, obviously majority of them have got a handyman in there already, but it's all about timing. You walk in there with your pack and you know, we've got a slick sort of way to approach them, and they may have had a bit of a rough old time with their handyman, and you come in there like riding in on your horse and waving this to save the day. And and they test you out. They'll throw a few quotes at you, and then what you do is you make sure you do a good job and don't overcharge and all that sort of thing. And it's all about once you're in, you got to build a relationship and keep popping in and seeing how everything's going. Because they want you to jump when they say jump.
So Jim, obviously you've got to go through a fair bit of knocking on doors and talking to people. I mean, we joked a bit about getting knocked back by Hire a Hubby in your first attempt to join the franchise. I mean, when it comes to partnerships like real estate agents or even just clients in general, but certainly strata could be pretty tough, I would imagine, as well.
Yeah.
How do you handle those knockbacks, mate? You must get a few no's, yeah?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And what I say to them when they say no, I just say, here's my pack anyway. If your current handyman's a bit under pressure to get everything done, we're here to support. We're not here to take his work away, but we're here to support you guys to run your business. So I don't take it on the chin and say, oh, geez, you know, they said no. I just feel that when they do ring, you just got to be there to help them out. So.
And that's a great approach because it's all about making their life easier, not about, filling your week with work.
Yeah, because they are the middleman between the owner and us sort of thing. So, you know, they don't want to be getting like the owner and also the renter. They're a part of it as well. So you're sort of like filling in the gaps and you're making the real estate people, you're making their job a lot easier by when they send you a work order, you tell them that we received it. When you've booked the job in, you tell them that we've booked it in this via email. And then obviously when you've done the job, you let them know. So it's all like step by step, seamlessly. And so they don't have to be worrying about, you know, that work order, did they receive it or have they booked it in yet? They just want to know that once they send that work order that it's all getting taken care of.
Yeah, because I know we did a few episodes ago, we talked to a tile shop and talked about getting referral suppliers, and the big thing they said is just communicate with us and the customer that everything's going okay. And where most people fall down is that lack of communication. But you've pinpointed the exact same thing that these partners love is just keeping them in the loop and maintaining that clear level of communication.
Yeah. And I'll work that one out. Maybe I should tell everyone that. Tell them all my secrets.
Oh, I'm pretty sure your secrets are safe, mate.
Between me and you, all right?
Yeah, it's not like anyone actually listens to us babble on all the time.
Well, I thought this was going worldwide.
Yeah, well, we didn't tell you that, okay?
Cool.
So, Jim, obviously you've done well, mate. 5 years, I think you said, you've been at this now. What's the next 5 years look like for you guys?
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. I feel that we've got room to move. Nearly thinking about getting another guy with the amount of work. I want to train up my leading hand so that he can sort of do what I'm doing, and then I can go on surf trips and enjoy life. You know, so it's all about trying to work. You know, I've done the hard yards. Now I want to sort of like reap the rewards by training up, leading hand who can do what I do, and then I can enjoy life.
Jeez, mate. So, are you a unicorn? Have you got like white coat and a horn growing out of your head, mate? Because
I'm gonna make it happen, Joe. You're right.
But it's certainly something that I think a lot of people feel like maybe it's out of reach, and.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, mate, I wouldn't have thought that a handyman business could get to the stage where you've got six guys rattling around on the road and you can bugger off to Bali or the Maldives or wherever you do your surf trips, mate, and have a business that literally runs without you. So well done, first of all. But mate, what do you think will be the secret to getting there, Jim? Like,
I reckon the secret to do that is obviously you need a good 2IC, like a guy that you can train, and I think – it's all about putting it down on paper what you do. If you can get a book or some sort of step by step what I do, and then you get your leading hand and say, right, this is what I do every day. And when you write it out, it's quite a bit there, you know. And so you get him in and you slowly train. Obviously, that you still want to make money from the guy, so he's out there banging the nails in. But maybe like once a week for like half a day, he comes in, you sit down, you go, right, this is – and I've done that with one of my guys, and he loves it because he's getting a bit more responsibility. And so then when I go away, it's just not like a big shit fight or whatever. And it's like he's got – if he gets in a bit of a tizzy, he looks at the manual and goes, oh, what does Jim do here on a Monday? All right, that's what – I've got to do this, this, and this. So – I think that's the secret. If you have a good 2IC that can take over and you trial it, you go, right, we trial it, we went away for a week and we've seen how he could handle it. Come back and he actually had jobs booked out for the next week. So when I come in on the Monday, the calendar was full and he was wrapped. So I think that's the secret, is by dipping your toe in the water, having one of your guys, you give them a bit of an incentive as well. It's all about incentives. And then you train them up and try and be like a mini-me. And then once you get that and you give them like bonuses and all that sort of stuff to run it, and then you can go away and think, well, he takes the phone, he does everything, and then you come back. There may be a few hiccups, but what the hell, you can go away and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, so one of the big things that I think is undervalued in a business is actually a set of operating procedures, which is what you've talked about, is actually jotting down what you do day in, day out. And I think it's so valuable to a business to be able to grow that without them they never will. And people will never get off the tools and they say, I don't have time to write it all down. Well, you don't have time not to write it down. You know, next time you do it, just – you know, jot point down what you're doing, or even video screen share what you're doing, and just quickly screen capture it. And then you've got these procedures, so no matter what happens to you, or if you do want to go away, it's all there. And then if that next person that you've trained does go, well, you're not going to go through it all again. You've already got the procedures done, and just keep updating them. So I really think it's
I think a procedures, if you get a good procedure book and it's a step by step, it's not like rocket science, you know, like, and if they follow that procedure, then you know there's going to be no dramas. And the great thing is that we've got Office Shed who does all the back end stuff. So all the guys got to do is send their voice memos through to them, the invoices and quoting. The girls do all that. So all he has to do is make sure the guys are scheduled out and everything's running smoothly.
Mate, it sounds like so much more than just replacing grubby old toilet seats.
Definitely. Yeah. I've come a long way. Yeah.
So, Jim, one of the questions we do like to ask our guests on the show is, if you had 1,000 tradies in a room, what's one piece of advice you'd love to leave them with, mate?
1,000 tradies. I just feel that we're all good at we're all good at banging the nails in and actually doing the work. I think the business side of things, you really have to get someone to help you on that. And without help, you're just going to keep banging nails, and you're going to be forgetting the invoice. You're going to get quotes in late. You'll be chasing your tail, because at the end of the day, we're all good at banging the nails in, but it's the back end stuff, which is the most important part that we tend to forget.
Mate, awesome advice. I think that's such good advice, Jim, that next time I'm in town, I think we'll have to meet at the North Narrabeen and I'll buy you a beer, mate. great tips there, listeners, from Jim Kelly, Horror Hubby Franchisee of the Year. We haven't even dug into the whole award process, but, you know, maybe that's a conversation for another episode, mate. But thanks again for your time, Jim. Yeah. I can hear a busy office in the background there. I think Michaela wanted to add one more thing, mate.
Well, I was just going to say that if anyone wanted to find out more about you or becoming a Horror Hubby franchisee, how would they do that? Is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, just Google Horror Hubby. I'm not sure the website, but yeah, Google Horror Hubby, and they've got a massive website there where you can look at all the different look at the franchise and who to contact, and Manuel's the guy that is a good guy to speak to, and it's a really rewarding franchise to be in, and it's the one franchise where I feel where they actually want you to make money. You know, they want you really to do well, because then people from the outside want to get in.
Great. And congratulations again, and thanks for your time today.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. So there you go, listeners. I hope you got some good tips out of that from Jim Kelly. Definitely not a wanker. Thanks again to Jim. Great interview, and I have no doubt he's going to get that sixth guy and just become a professional surfer by the sounds of it. So good on him. And one of the things he did mention that really stuck out for me as well was he talked about the fact that he outsources a lot of the back end stuff. So invoicing and chasing up quotes and that sort of stuff. He doesn't do it himself. And he did talk there about, it's not enough just to be good at swinging a hammer. You've got to get good at the business stuff. And one of the things I think that a lot of us need to recognize and accept is that often we're not the best person to do the bookkeeping or the follow-up calls and some of those things. So if you do want to take that step and look at outsourcing some of those things, could just be answering the phone so you don't have to keep climbing down off the roof to take messages on your mobile, go and check out Tradies VA. So just go to tradiesva.com.au, and there's packages there from as little as $22 a day where you can have your own full-time receptionist, essentially, and get rid of all the crap so you can focus on the business stuff and go surfing more.
Cool. And then the other big thing he also said was about training up his 2IC and getting him to be a leader in the business as well. So our show sponsors, Face-to-Face Training, can offer all sorts of leadership management type courses as well if you're looking at having a 2IC step up. And there's some government rebates you can maybe get as well. Terms and conditions apply, blah, blah, blah. That may make no out-of-pocket expenses for you. So head to face2face.edu.au and check them out and see how you can, you know, help progress that process quicker about getting, you know, you off the tools and surfing or knitting.
Absolutely. And if you missed any of that, go to the show page, tradiesbusinessshow.com, and we'll have all the links to all of that stuff in the show notes and a picture of Big Jim. And listeners, we'd like to say thanks for tuning in to another episode, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Hooroo.
You've been listening to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.